that she could telecom, and this is at the same time. She won't be in with us to the issues at telecoms and push down services, but the apology. She's still at work. The next apology is Deputy Minister Stella Ndabeni Abraham, who requested to leave at 11 o'clock. The other apology is Minister Mutambi, who will be leaving at 12. And the reasons here being that all of us are aware that we have a big crisis that has fallen government. We have been left from Minister Colin Shabani, and the entire cabinet has been given some tasks to coordinate this and that. And Minister Mutambi, because it's not something planned, it's something that occurred due to the unfortunate loss that we so much had, will be also the excuse at 12 o'clock to deal with issues that relate to the death of Minister Shabani, and therefore we will gladly release this minister at 12. Okay, with all these apologies and all the issues that started as preamble, can I then request that we can be able to deal with the business of the day? We will discuss the, I don't know if the list, I'll find out from the secretary, the list in terms of those who have to sit for shortlisting for the interviews that have been made by various parties. If so, then I will pronounce it as well at the end of this meeting, once we will be dealing with issues of apology, or issues of interviews. We also have some small in-house arrangements that we need to deal with. We will deal with everything, and so members will know that we are going to be like an indicator, flat out, in terms of taking extra days and extra hours to ensure that we meet the interviews that are before us and ensure that we interview everyone. Thank you. Can I then take the briefing by the Minister on Communications on the state of the SAPC, on the evaluation of its capacity and the current affairs? Honourable Minister, over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, members, for affording us this opportunity to review on these matters. I just want to confirm to say we have members of the board of the SABC in our midst who don't need introduction, that includes the executive members of the board and then the team from DOC. So we love not to waste your time, then we afford more opportunity for members to interact with the presentation. Chairperson,
Is that a hand?
Yes, I just request before we start that we do actually introduce the board members, because I'm sure you're aware that we don't know all the board members because they don't always come to these meetings. But it would be very useful if you don't mind just introducing them to us. Thank you.
I don't think it's a problem now. I'm sure it's a problem.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. My apologies, Honorable Davis. The gentleman next to the Deputy Minister is Professor Mabure, is the 18th Chairperson of the SABC Board. And then behind me is the Senate Generation, Ms. Naya Kumalo. She is the member of the Governance Committee. Ideally, we should have brought the Chairperson of the Governance Committee. Now that he has resigned, she's the remaining member of the Governance Committee. And then we have Mr. Saudi Mutune. Since you know Mr. Mutune, the CEO, he's also the director of the SABC Board. And then we also have Mr. James Aguma, who's also the CFO, and then he's a director of the SABC Board. So these are the board members. Then at the back, we have the company secretary, Ms. Teresa Seldenis. I think you know Ms. Teresa Seldenis. Teresa is here. So these are members of the board of the SABC. I hope this suffices.
I'm sorry to interrupt again, but
Honourable Davis.
But this is a point of procedure that we need
point
to clear up before we continue. In the minutes of the portfolio committee that we had on the 17th of February, we resolved that all SABC board members would attend this meeting. And as I can see here, we've only got, in fact, two non-execs and two execs. So, you know, we know that the board is deeply divided, and that's part of the reason why we're here today. But if we only get one side, the one-sided picture, if we're not going to be able to get the full picture of what is happening at SABC. So I'd like to ask why only certain board members are at this meeting and not the full board, as we resolved in a previous meeting. Thank you.
You want to respond to that, Minister?
With respect, I think it's actually a question directed at the chairperson of the SABC board, because we invited the board, and it doesn't go through the minister.
Okay, can I clarify that, Honourable Davis? Once we invite entities of government under a minister that we're overseeing, we communicate to the minister. The minister is the one who takes responsibility of inviting the board members as requested by ourselves. It will be completely, I think, if you want to a response to that question, we need to ask the minister, who is the one that will oversee in terms of the constitution of the delegation that she has chosen to bring to the portfolio committee. Minister?
Thank you, Chair. We have disaligned the delegation that needs to come here, because this is what has also happened in the past. I've never seen a situation where, because this news that I'm getting now here from Honorable David, that the rationale behind inviting the entire board is that the board is divided. So the request that I got myself was to come and bring the portfolio committee on those issues as per the agenda. So if that was the intention of the committee to hold an inquiry, because what you are trying to say to me now, there's an issue here, the portfolio wanted to hold an inquiry, that's another issue. And that was not part of the brief. Because the brief, what I was told is that I must come and account on the activities of the SABC, as per the institution that I have. So I've never seen it happening in all board members. I mean, with due respect, Honorable Davis, he always preached to say we need to use the state resources efficiently and effectively. Where the situation we now bring all board members to the meeting just so I can for them to come and sit, because at the end of the day, the overall responsibility, these people that we brought about around, that's why we brought a member of the governance committee, we brought the acting chairperson of the board, their place to come and assist me in presenting the status of the SAPC in this meeting.
Okay. Minister, can you proceed? Because the instruction was that you come with the board. Actually, I did not explain the integrity from our side. We did say you should come to the portfolio committee, come with the board, and that's all. So we did not really get into details in terms of how you should constitute your board. The issues, I'm actually saying, we're not constituting any inquiry at this point in time. Let's hear your presentation and let's engage on the presentation if there are any matters that come, including maybe if there are issues that Honorable Davis wants to raise. But once we start by even arguing about the constitution of your delegation, we might end up not starting with the details of the government, of the business of the day by now. Can I request that we have the gist of the presentation, all issues that members want to raise, let them come together with the interrogations of the presentation. Can we agree on that, Honourable Members? Honourable Davis?
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to set a very serious objection to this, because when this committee resolves, and I quote, that all SABC board members must attend the meeting, We act on good faith. We presume that all of the board members will come as per the resolution. And it's very difficult for us to carry out our business if these resolutions are not taken seriously. Because as we've read in the media, there are deep divisions in the board. There's people who are coalescing around the minister, and there's people who are seen to be more independent. Now, how can we get the full picture of what is happening at the SABC if the minister gets to determine which board members she brings to a meeting like this. I don't believe that we can get the full picture today, and I believe that it will be a flawed presentation that we will get today, because we will not get the full picture.
Okay, Honourable Davis, maybe on that issue, you know, because you remember when I made our client's agenda, I said we're also going to adopt the minutes. And among the minutes which we haven't adopted as yet, would adopt at the end of this meeting. It was not a resolve. You know, if you resolve, if you make a resolution, we did indicate that you want the board. We did not resolve because we did not know the nitty-gritties of what is taking place, and we expected the meeting that will come will clarify us on matters. And minister will clarify on all matters that are taking place in the board. If there is any need for us to do any follow-up whereby we want the entire board, as the portfolio committee, we can do that. We can just ask the entire board to come. But for now, we need the minister to account and give us a picture of where they are, so that we can be able, as a portfolio committee, determine from what the minister would say, how do we move forward. Because remember, honourable members, I did indicate once we packed the SABC, I did indicate that the SABC is much more a broader task for our oversight, and we need to engage with it in totality, which means that we're going to look at it area by area. There's quite a lot that is involved. We cannot have, for instance, we can't have this one so and this that it can cover all issues that we want. But we can have this meeting that assists the portfolio committee to develop a program of how to deal with oversight for the portfolio committee. Honourable Zaidi.
Just to just on a matter of procedure, because earlier on you outlined the agenda. And there was no objection to suggest that we must start by minutes of the previous meeting. We had agreed that we are going to be talking about, we are going to be taking the presentation, engage with the presentation, and then come to minutes later. But now if we talk about issues that talks to the minutes, when the agenda now, when you have not yet reached the stage, to me, I don't think it will be proper. And I would suggest that we follow the agenda as agreed upon, because there was no objection earlier on when you suggested that the minutes will come immediately after the presentation. Can we move in that direction? That's what progress is.
Honourable Davis, Honourable Kekan.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think your input earlier was helpful. I think that we must proceed today because we have a minister here and we have the SABC, some members of the SABC board here, so it is better than nothing. But on that basis, I agree with you that we should schedule a further meeting. Can we take a resolution to schedule a meeting where we have the full board here? And I think that that will solve the problem. So we proceed today and we take the resolution to have a future meeting where we have the full board as per your suggestion just now. Thank you.
No, Honourable Davis, that's not how the portfolio committee meetings are. We don't discuss the matter and want to take a resolution. We have a standing issue that we have agreed as a portfolio committee, whereby we actually said we want to deal with the SAPC in totality. Not necessarily that we should say it's a commitment that we have done as a portfolio committee. It is a must on our side. We want to unfold that process and make sure that we focus on the SAPC. Remember, even when we went on oversight visits, we did not go to the SAPC. We have all that to deal with, and that is a commitment in terms of what we're supposed to do on the side of our oversight, and definitely our coming quarter as well should carry all the matters that relate to the SAPC. We do have some MTTA, and we have identified other issues which I will put at the end. I'll send to all members at the end before we actually bring a proper program to be adopted by the committee. But our commitment to deal with the SAPC is there. Okay, thanks. Honourable Minister, can you then proceed with the presentation?
Thank you, Chair. Is the briefing by the Minister of Communication on the state of the SABC, evaluation of its capacity and the current affairs. I think I need to start up front to say where do we get our oversight rules as the Ministry. And then I believe members now are aware that the Constitution of the country gives us that responsibility. The Broadcasting Act gives us that responsibility. Also, the Companies Act the Memorandum of Incorporation, the Board Charter, and the Shareholders Compact. My apology for that one. I'm the shareholder representative as prescribed by the Broadcasting Act, and I'm representing the state as the shareholder of the SABC. And then I'm the sole shareholder. I think I need to make that emphasis that I'm the sole shareholder. And then I think members had the opportunity to read the Companies Act because it specifies what are the duties of the shareholder. And then my relationship with the board is governed by the provisions of the Companies Act, the Shareholder Compact, and the Board Charter as I said earlier. And then we have confirmed the appointment of the Chief Operation Officer and the Chief Financial Officer, who are also the Executive Director of the SABC Board, empowered by the press conference that I've mentioned earlier. And then I think the court application by the DA in respect of the Chief Operation Officer position is pending before the High Court of South Africa, the Western Cape High Court in particular. And then I'll still maintain again that I'm bound by the subject to care rule, and therefore I cannot make any pronouncement on this matter. And then, so with regard to the appointment of the Group Chief Executive Officer, it's pending and the decision will be made in due course. And then I want to indicate to members to say the board is currently resolving some of the problems which were experienced by the previous boards. For instance, they are also busy resolving the Auditor General's queries, and then they are improving the ethical standards of board members and focusing on improving governance and stable leadership in the corporation. I've already alluded earlier that as a shareholder representative in terms of the Company Act, myself as the minister, I think it also deals with the issues that Honorable David was raising to media reports. So I'm here as a minister to also brief you what's happening, unlike for you to rely on the media reports. That's the reason why we are here, so that we brief you on this matter. So we are Section 21 of the Company Act. It empowers me as a shareholder to have written the letter to certain board members to explain the alleged misconduct pursuant to the provisions of Section 21 of the Companies Act. I'm also entitled in terms of the Memorandum of Incorporation, the Shareholder Compact, and the Board Charter to intervene in resolving the SABC board members' alleged conduct. The other issue that Honorable Davis read from the media is indicated is with regard to the amendment of the Memorandum of Incorporation.
Before I say, Honorable David, read the portfolio committee.
My apologies, Chairperson. We have amended the MOI in terms of Section 16.1.2 of the Companies Act. I think I need to put it up front here. The MOI is a document that can be amended as from time to time. It sets out the rights, duties and responsibilities of shareholders, directors and others within and in relation to a company and other matters as contemplated in Section 15. I'm raising it based on the fact that SABC is a state-owned company, and then it's governed by the provisions of the Companies Act. Then the MOI is a shareholder document, and therefore the shareholder is entitled in terms of Section 16.1.2 to amend it during the shareholders' meeting if the shareholder deems it necessary. And then we have amending the MOI to empower the management team of the SABC to appoint and discipline staff. This is done just for operational efficiency. And then the other amendments also corrected the grammatical errors which appeared in the original MOI that was registered by the then Minister Tainapune in 2013. And then I will hand over to the DG to deal with the SABC audit matters, who will also in turn hand over to the CFO of the SABC to deal with the technical aspects of the presentation. Through you, sir, can I hand over to the acting DG?
Thank you, Minister. Thank you, Chairperson, honorable members. Just very briefly, in terms of the audit matter that was raised by the Auditor General's office, these were first presented in October. We've had an opportunity to attend to some of the matters that were raised. I think it's important to emphasize the fact that we are working closely with the Auditor General's office to attend to these, because we believe that definitely they can improve the operational efficiency of the organization. There are two primary areas. The first area speaks to the business model around the collection of license revenues, Mr. James Aguna will talk to those in more detail. And the second area also speaks more broadly to the issues of asset control and establishing the correct protocols so that we can account for the assets of the organization. Now, those two matters have brought implications in terms of how the SABC has accounted for its revenues, and obviously that has implications from a tax point of view as well. What I want to emphasize is that these matters are in hand. A lot of work has been done in the last couple of months, and as this month ends, we will have comprehensive reports that outline what steps have been taken to mitigate against some of the areas that were pointed out in the AG's report. So on the one hand, that speaks to the areas around financial controls. The second area that we thought we wanted to highlight speaks to the skills resource base of the organization. And what was flagged was that we needed to improve our skills, particularly in the financial operations of the organization. So the CFO is going to touch on some of the interventions that have been made in this area specifically, in terms of the plans that have been put in place to manage our recruitment of people with the correct financial skills to assist the efforts of the SABC. The matters are listed here. The CFO will go into each one, so that we can have a fuller discussion about what the implications of each of those are and the steps that have been taken. It's three slides, but we're happy to engage on each component after he's finished his presentation. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair and honorable members. Thank you for the opportunity to present the issues around the audit matters and the progress that the corporation has made in resolving these issues so far. I think we'll start by saying that we had a qualified opinion, and we got this opinion as a result of those areas highlighted below. As the DG has correctly said, we can basically package the issues around 2 to 3 items here, being key licenses, revenue, and related receivables. The issue here being that we have been accounting for for these TV licenses on a cash basis because of the completeness of the database of viewers. And this database conceptually can be divided into two. That is, the people who are currently on the database, that is the actual payers, and then those who should actually be on the database but are not currently there and loosely classified as pirate viewers. That's people who view TVs, know they should pay but they're not paying. So what we're doing with this, challenge that we have, is we trying to source a methodology, I mean service providers, to give us a very, the most accurate way of determining those who are viewers who are not on the system and not on the database but should actually be there. So what we anticipate honorable members to do here, just at a high level, is to try and use alternative databases, like for example, people who may be paid UIF and maybe other databases, and we use certain algorithms to determine whether if somebody, for example, earns 2,000 rands and pays about 300 rands a month on, let's say, cell phone bills, that person should ordinarily be able to afford a TV license. If it's not on our database, then we could consult that person using whichever methods to get their contact details to establish whether they have database, I mean TV licenses, and get the database complete. So I think the issue around TV licenses essentially is that we haven't been accounting for debtors. That is, people who should have paid, but for whatever reason, haven't. So we have been accounting for the cash aspects of TV licenses. So we are in the final process of determining who these pirate viewers are in consultation with service providers. Property, plant and equipment, as the DJ said, it's really about not having adequate controls in the past to determine the accuracy and completeness of the data of the database of assets. But as we presented in the previous two occasions, the SABC has said that we have appointed service providers to do the count, and by the 31st of this month we will have a fairly complete register of assets. And we need to just emphasize here that each of these two areas, TV licenses and property, plant and equipment, also have tax consequences, in the sense that if you don't know how many assets that you have, then it becomes very difficult to account for the wear and tear in accordance with the tax act. So what we're saying here is that if we resolve to a large extent these two items, then in one way or the other, the qualification on deferred tax payable and income tax will also be resolved. Other payables that were the qualification area also arose from the VAT liabilities potential that could have arisen from the tax, on the TV license revenue. We need to just inform the committee that as the SABC, we had engagements with National Treasury and SARS around the determination on whether we should charge, we should pay VAT on the cash basis, that is on receipts, or on revenue as determined by the accounting policies, which will mean total revenue, either cash collected or accrued. And in the budget speech read by the Honorable Minister, he has given us a reprieve, and we will be seeing that later on there will be a determination that the SABC can actually collect VAT on the cash basis. So that will, going forward, will give the AG assurance that the liability for VAT is not on the total revenue, that is both cash collected and accrued. On the deferred government grant issues, this is linked very closely to property, plant and equipment. What happens here, honorable members, is that our property is funded both from internal resources and also government grants. But because there was no method in the past to separate assets acquired from internal resources and government grants, meant that we couldn't account for the revenue as determined by the accounting standards that arise from the depreciation of the assets that are acquired from the government grant. By the end of February, we had actually determined as part of the count the total assets that have been acquired from the government grant, so we can clearly in the current financial year, which is 2015 and even the 2014 financials, restate the figure of government grant revenue because we have accurately determined the extent of assets that were acquired from government grants. So that that finding around the five government grants, we believe with our auditors we'll be able to resolve this coming year. Then mobile income was really a question of third-party assurances. We collect revenue from third parties, and we, in the past, were comfortable that the revenue that was remitted by the third parties was complete and accurate. But the AG had issues around that assurance. So what we have resolved with the AG is that we're going to determine collaboration with the auditors of these third parties, an audit certificate will be received from the mobile income partners that we have that they will give to the Auditor General, giving them assurance that the revenue that is remitted to the AG, to the SABC, is actually complete and accurate. So we are in the process of making sure that the audits for 2014 and 2015 are specifically directed towards revenue remitted, and an audit certificate should accompany that. So that mobile income we will resolve this current year. Then the IFRIS disclosures, honorable members, talks really to the aging of debtors, and we discovered as part of the audit process that our systems, that's the SAP system, had a problem with matching current receipts against the earliest invoice. So this was determined as part of the audit, and it was too late for us to do it. But however, in the current year, we are reviewing all the receipts against the earliest invoices to make sure that the aging, that is really compartmentalizing the debtors into age groups like 0 to 30 days, 30 days to 60 days, and so on, is accurate. So this, by the end of February, we're about 60-70% done with this aging process, and we believe that by mid-April, we would have actually corrected this issue around the IFRIS disclosures. Then with the regular fruits and wasteful expenditure, basically here the AG said there was no integrity in the figures that had been disclosed, and we have understood this problem to be twofold. Personally, talking to historical disclosures, that is before 2014, and we say that in the past there were challenges with our policies and procedures that were not necessarily aligned to the law. For example, it was okay at the SABC to get a copy of a tax invoice, and yet the Treasury regulations require that it has to be an original tax invoice. So much as the staff complied with the policy, there was a defect in the fact that the policy did not align properly with the law. What we have done is we have decided to overhaul the whole policy. And what he's saying here is that we are reviewing them and making sure that they are compliant with the law. So that is really the prevention arm of irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure going forward. But the historical disclosures, because it takes an extensive effort to go back into the records, what we have chosen to do, we've chosen to actually appoint a service provider under our direction to go and do this work, so that the colleagues who work in supply chain management are not necessarily withdrawn from doing their normal functions. So we believe for the historical issues, if we get a service provider under our direction, we'll be able to go and determine the accuracy of irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure, and deal with that. Then the dealing with these categories of expenses going forward will be treated or cured by making sure that the supply chain management policies talk to the law. And then the second aspect is also making sure that the monitoring of acquisitions of goods and services are actually properly regulated. The other aspect is the findings on predetermined objectives in the corporate plan. As is very common in many organizations in the past, in the public sector, usually the targets were not measurable. They were not smart, specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time-bound. But as a result of our interactions with the AG and also a concerted effort by, I need to mention here, the CEO's coordination and planning within the SABC, what has happened here is that we have improved corporate planning, and a review of these targets is done consciously now, and the AG's input is also being taken very seriously as a result of the findings. So we feel that going forward, the issues around predetermined objectives, the targets are being specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time-bound, will be cured because of the consciousness of the executive and the board in reviewing these targets, and also the input of the AG in proactive auditing, and also a bit of training to colleagues at the SABC. Key challenges can be summarized as follows. It's skills and vacancies in the finance functions. And here, we have a credible finance function. However, there are certain specific capabilities that we are lacking at the SABC. And here, we can talk about them in the following areas. One is tax. We didn't have a very good appreciation of the tax risks that existed at the SABC, and making sure that we match the human resources that would be able to adequately address those tax risks. What we have done is, in the current financial year, we've actually gone and hired skills to fill this position. We have hired a CA from the South African Revenue Service to assist us in this area, and also a resource from the auditing background to just empower the SABC in dealing with the tax risks. The film rights, which was a qualification in 2013 and prior years, we've also hired a lady CA. I need to mention also the CA in tax is also a lady, so we're empowering ladies here to deal with these issues. Property, plant and equipment, we've gone around in public entities that have managed to deal with these issues around assets, and we've also hired a chartered accountant, and the young lady also who is a professional accountant, management accountant, to assist us in that area. Then in the radio area, we have also hired a CA. So I think for the operational aspects of financial management, we have hired the right resources. The gap that we have, which the AG has reported, is around financial reporting. And here, we are currently using a service provider, but we are targeting recruiting additional resources, chartered accountants, to help us in that area. So we believe by the end of this financial year, or probably the beginning of the next, we'll have a full resource base of qualified accountants who will assist in making sure that the SABC going forward can adequately manage operations and also report on them, because the sales base is right. The inadequate and sometimes outdated policies and procedures in key areas, for example, as I've elaborated in property, plant and equipment, that's asset management, we have, as part of the task assigned to the service provider, reviewed those policies. The film rights, which we resolved last year, we've also reviewed the policies and procedures. Around supply chain, we have engaged a supply chain expert to review this, to make sure that our policies are tight. So essentially, in these areas around policies and procedures, in these key areas, we are reviewing the policies with a specific objective of making sure that they align with the law. That's the first thing, to remove the risk of irregular expenditure. Then we're also making sure that those policies and procedures incorporate internal controls and make sure that daily activities are monitored. And the last imperative is to make sure that they make business sense, because at times irregular expenditure and protest of grocery expenditure arises when policies and procedures are rendered irrelevant because the business around it has probably outgrown the capabilities of those policies as they sit to address the risks therein. Then inadequate monitoring of key control activities. This is going to be addressed by, one, recruiting the right resources that can be able to assess risk and put in place policies and procedures and make sure that they can, monitor these controls. And the second is also making sure that the policies and procedures are reviewed. If these are sorted out, then we believe that the monitoring will be better. Asset counts, which was an issue that was not properly managed, as I said, is being finalized, and then the policies are being left, are being revised. We believe going forward we will just pick the button from where the service providers have stopped and continue with that effort in order to give the stakeholders of the SABC assurance that key activities within the organization are properly controlled. Anomalies in the reporting architecture that affected adequate oversight. This one talks to the structure of the business, and we are reviewing this to make sure that it talks to the plans going forward. Inadequate assessment of tax risks. What we've done here, because tax is a very onerous obligation, if you get it wrong, we have reinforced, as I've said, the division, and we have also sourced external assistance from a service provider capable in this area to give us an overview of our tax risks and see if we are adequately covering them. Limited accounting systems application reviews. Here we're talking about the shortcomings, as I've explained, in the allocation of cash receipts against the earliest invoices. We will be getting our internal audit to review these applications, and more specifically as part of monitoring of key control activities. The resources that we will be recruiting will have to identify systems applications that they need to regularly monitor to ensure that glitches are not discovered as a result of an audit, but as a result of management activities. Then inadequate corporate planning and reporting capabilities, I've already talked about that. As I said, the CEO or he has actively reorganized the planning process of the SABC around core activities, and now we have made sure that planning is properly coordinated by creating meaningful structures like the core broadcasting team and regular reporting of their activities to EXCO and to the board. Interventions, we have talked about recruiting. I've already said we've recruited a couple of International Federation of Accountants trained and registered resources. Then we have also used the professional service providers, because we do not have the capacity internally to deal with some of the immediate issues that were raised by the AG. And these will address preparation of financial statements currently until we have filled the vacancies to deal with this going forward. Then we also have professional service providers who are dealing with trade receivables, that's the IFRS disclosure that I've talked about. We are also reviewing, as I've said, the procurement process and revised supply chain policies. Then that bullet of conducting research and TV license revenue models and benchmark with entities like Water Trading Entity of the Department of Water and Sanitation and UIF. This area, we are in the process, I think by the end of this week or the week coming, would have actually finalized the appointment of a professional service provider. One, to deal with the database, which is very complicated because it's not within the realm of accountants to try and figure that out. So that we will get data analysts to assist us, but we will pair them with the accountants to make sure that they are counting for TV license revenue based on an adequate database is accurate for accounting and also sustainable for tax reporting. Then we have also dedicated a resource to focus on the findings of performance reporting, and we will revise, or rather we have revised the process to detect irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure, but this, as I've said, needs to be buttressed by making sure that the supply chain management policies are as revised. We talk to the law, and then also reviewing of the current monitoring of internal controls is done adequately. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. That concludes the presentation. And then, yeah.
Thanks for the presentation. Without any waste of time, I'm going to invite hands from the members to interact with the presentation. There is only one hand that I've seen so far. There's a second hand. Can I take Honorable Davis? He will be followed by Honorable Majisha in that order.
Thank you, Chairperson. And thank you, Minister, for the presentation, and thank you for making time to be here. It's good to have you here. I just want to start off by saying that in the previous version of the presentation that was sent us yesterday, it mentioned 3 vacancies on the board. I don't see that in this presentation if I missed it. But perhaps you could tell us who has left the SABC board to create these vacancies. We obviously know about Ella Shabalala, but which other members have left the board to create these 2 vacancies? We need to know this so that we can take this process forward as the portfolio committee, and we can fill those vacancies and begin that process. So if you just let us know the names of those 2 other members of the board who have left. And then you mentioned that you sent letters to the board at some point last year and perhaps early this year, I'm not sure of the precise date. But how many board members received a letter from you threatening to remove them from office? And can you tell us which members of the board received this letter? And I want to point out that nowhere in the Broadcasting Act does it give the minister the power to threaten the removal of board members. The removal of board members is a process set out in the Broadcasting Act, which is dealt with by this committee. So can you please tell us on what legal basis you wrote letters to board members from the minister's office to threaten them with removal from office? In the letters you sent to these board members, you alleged breach of certain fiduciary duties. Can you please outline for us what these allegations are? And lastly, on this topic, can you please tell us why you're getting involved in the removal of these board members, but you never got involved, quite rightly, in the removal of Ellen Shabalala from office? What is so special about these board members that make you get involved in their removal, but you didn't get involved in the removal of Ellen Shabalala? Then I've got a question to the board chairperson on the same topic. You issued a statement on Thursday, chairperson, saying that the board has resolved to remove Hope Zinde with immediate effect. What is the next step that you foresee happening in this process? Has she been removed as far as you're concerned by the board? Is that done and dusted? Is she gone? Or will you be handing this matter over to the portfolio committee so that we can go through the due inquiry as set out in the Broadcasting Act, as we did with Ellen Shabalala, and as we must follow with every removal of a board member? Can I assume that you will be handing this issue over to the portfolio committee so that we can deal with it in terms of the Broadcasting Act? That's my first question. Then my second question to you, board chairperson, is that according to the Broadcasting Act, section 1310, 9 members of the board, which must include the chairperson or the deputy chairperson, will constitute a quorum of any meeting of the board. Can you please tell us how many board members were present when the decision was taken to resolve for the removal of Hope Zinde? And can you say which board members were present when that resolution was taken, please? I now move to the memorandum of incorporation. Minister, you say that the SABC is a state-owned company. This is fundamentally wrong. The SABC is an independent public broadcaster. And I fear that your interpretation of what the SABC is really colours exactly how you deal with the SABC. The SABC is not like ESCOM. It's not like Transnet. It's an independent public broadcaster, and it is governed by the Broadcasting Act. It's an independent public broadcaster. Now, in terms of the Act, Section 11 of the Act gives the board the power to control the affairs of the corporation. Now, this is important because the board is made up of civilians selected by this portfolio committee. So it's the board that gives life to the idea of public broadcasting and not state broadcasting. But what you are doing with this memorandum of incorporation, you are trying to turn the SABC from a public broadcaster to a state broadcaster. Now, we had a state broadcaster during apartheid. Do we really want to go back to having a state broadcaster which is run by a minister? I don't think we do. That's why we have a board, and that's why we have public broadcasting in South Africa. So please, can you tell us, do you not agree that the SABC is an independent public broadcaster, or do you really believe it is a state-owned broadcaster? I'm going to go into some details of the memorandum of incorporation because the minister was very fleeting when she dealt with the memorandum. The memorandum was not just to correct a few typographical errors. The memorandum fundamentally changes the character of the SABC from a public broadcaster to a state broadcaster. And I'm going to highlight how it does this in the following ways. First of all, Section 5 of the memorandum requires the board now to seek the approval of the minister on any rule change relating to the governance of the SABC. So in other words, the minister is now in charge. If the board wants to make any changes to any rules, they have to get approval from the minister. That is a move towards a state broadcaster with a minister in charge of the broadcaster. Section 13.5.2 gives the minister new powers to waive the requirements for the board to advertise and shortlist candidates who apply for the positions of CEO, COO, and CFO. So in other words, the minister now has the power to ensure that her candidates are recommended without going through the processes, just as she did with Claude Monsonin, because we know that his position was not shortlisted and his position was not advertised, and that was illegal. And now she wants to put this into a document to make that look as if that is okay and to give her the power to waive the requirements so that she can ensure that her candidate is appointed to these powerful positions within the SABC. Section 13.5.7 gives the minister the sole authority to decide whether the CEO, COO, and CFO should be reappointed and the terms and conditions of his or her reappointment. And the board is bypassed altogether in this process. So this means that the board cannot control the affairs of the SABC because the minister now has the authority to decide whether these executive directors are reappointed or not. So it completely bypasses the board. Section 13.6.3 states that the board can only discipline and or suspend the CEO, COO, and CFO with approval from the minister. This again is a fundamental change. Previously the board had the power to discipline a CEO, a COO, and a CFO. Now they have to get permission from the minister. Again, this prevents the board from controlling the affairs of the SABC in contravention of the Broadcasting Act. Then, previously in the article that this MOI replaces, it said that the board was empowered to appoint an acting CEO, or COO and CFO, but this power is now removed. It says that in the event of the CEO position becoming vacant for whatever reason, the COO shall act in that position upon approval of the minister. So in other words, it is now the sole prerogative of the minister to make Claudie Motsuning the CEO, effectively, of the SABC, without going through any due processes whatsoever, in complete contravention of the spirit of the Broadcasting Act.
Ibrahim?
Yes, all up, please. With due respect, I request you to tell Honorable Saudi, Honorable Davis, to stop mentioning the issue of COO, Mr. Thousand Chenin, because he went outside and cried somewhere. So the issue is still subject to care. Please tell him to refrain from using that name. Thank you very much.
Okay, to the best of what I recall is that we cannot get into the nitty-gritties of issues that are subject to care. Issues of reference can be there, but you can't get into the nitty-gritties of the issues that are subject to care. Honorable Davis.
Chairperson, it's not subject to care. This is the Memorandum of Incorporation. And there's a clause in this new Memorandum of Incorporation that says, in the event of the CEO position being vacant, for whatever reason, the COO shall act in that position upon approval of the minister. I use Claudio Mosone as an example because he is the COO. There's no one else who is the COO.
That's the thing from the name. But
he's here sitting right in front of me. He's not supposed to be here because the matter's in court. I mean, how can I ignore this man sitting right across the room from me?
Are we allowing Honourable
Members, hold on. Honourable Davis, let's focus on the content of the issues. Let's leave out anything that might not make us not proceed with the meeting but start to interact in points of orders and so on. Can you proceed, Honourable Davis?
Thank you, Chair. Lastly, on the Memorandum of Incorporation, Section 14.3.1.3 gives the Minister the power to recommend the removal of a board member. Now, this is completely unprecedented. It's in contravention of the Broadcasting Act, which gives Parliament the power to remove a board member, just as we recommended the removal of Ellen Shabalala as the SABC chairperson. So, on what basis in law, I ask again, that the Minister can give herself the power to start removing board members? So, my general question based on the 6 points that I've raised on the Memorandum of Incorporation, does the Minister concede that the Memorandum contravenes the Broadcasting Act in the ways that I've outlined? If not, why does she not think that's the case? And if so, will she undertake a process to have the Memorandum amended so that it is brought into line with the Broadcasting Act, a statute which overrides a Memorandum? Then there's another clause in the Memorandum of Incorporation which I think is worth interrogating. Section 20.2.4 says that the SABC must pay the legal fees of directors to defend litigation in any proceedings arising out of the director's services to the corporation. So does this mean, therefore, Minister, that the SABC will pay the legal fees of Claudio Motsweneng in the court case that's currently against him? And does it mean that the SABC will pay the legal fees of Ellen Shabalala when she took this committee to court over the inquiry process? Then my next question is to the Chairperson of the Board. This is also on the Memorandum of Incorporation. Section 9.7.2 of the previous Articles of Association, which this memorandum replaces, said that any amendment to those articles must be passed at a general meeting of the board and the shareholder. So can the chairperson please tell us, the chairperson of the SABC board, please tell us whether or not a resolution to amend the articles was approved at a general meeting of the board and the shareholder, and whether or not the board formally discussed the memorandum of incorporation before it was passed. Thank you. My last question is to the Minister again, and it's on the appointment of the CEO. On the 24th of June, Minister, shortly after you assumed office, you said that a new CEO would be appointed within 3 months. That deadline came and went. On the 22nd of October, you said that you would have a new CEO appointed by the end of November. You said that the board had made, this was in this committee, you said that the board had made a recommendation and you were awaiting a report from government's vetting agencies before you could proceed with making that appointment. It is now the 17th of March. It is 9 months later since she previously promised that she would have a CEO in position, in a CEO appointed. What is causing the delay of appointing a CEO? And how were you, if there's all of these complex processes, how were you able to circumvent those processes when you appointed that man across the room, Claudio Motsweneng? Why is it taking you so long to appoint a CEO, but it was 24 hours to appoint Claudio Motsweneng? Please give us an answer to that question. Thank you.
Honorable Madisha.
No, thank you. Thank you very much, Chairperson and colleague. I want to first by emphasizing that FABC belongs to the people of our country. They pay taxes, they pay all these things and so on. And therefore, it's got to, by hook or crook, report to the people who own it. But I don't see that insofar as the report is concerned. Very many things here, I must say, my chairperson, are wrong. And that's a major, major problem. Maybe I must start with my colleague, the minister. Your indication that many things here cannot be responded to because they are there in terms of sub judice rule, that really gives me a problem. It's unfortunate that we are not in the National Assembly, where you remember that the President last week said, whether you say that or not, I am proceeding. And yet the week before, of course, the Deputy President had done the other thing. But then you know, I will not go into that. But then again, like I'm saying, the people who own South Africa know exactly, truly, what happened. So, sub judice and so on and so on, because it's still going to court, etc. That, to me, is something else. Now, we need to look into that in unison ourselves, so that we can actually be able to get a proper way forward. I'm worried, I must say, by the report, Chairperson. You get that a few minutes before the meeting, okay? And here you are going to talk about the monies, you are going to talk about the millions and billions of rands that come from the people of South Africa. And if you got to look into the finances, etc., there's got to be a proper assessment, there's got to be a proper assessment, a proper audit. Now, if this gets given to you now, then what happens? It means you then will, at the end, come back with the which is, in my own opinion, not proper. I therefore want to say that this is something that we've got to look into and ensure that through you, Chair, we're able to correct this. If that was done intentionally, then we have a problem. If it's going to be repeated through you, Chair, Minister, we've got a problem, or we've got to understand why, really, because you have these people who are there, who were there 24 hours, who've got to do this, and the antithesis is actually being done in this instance. They've reported, of course, that we have here, experts, people even from overseas, and so on, and so on. I think that is what has been given, that we have people here who are dealing with the finances, etc. That's the report that has been given. But again, what has been given to us is that you have a qualified report, etc. Again, we have not been able to look into that. Again, we have not been able to get enough chance to truly look into this, evidence, and so on. I think that has got to be looked into. Why do you say that we have quality, but then we have people who can't work and actually give us a proper way forward? I think we have a problem, and indeed the owners of this company, the owners of the SABC, will be right to rise one day and say, this such of ours is not delivering that which it is supposed to deliver. I think something has got to be done truly.
Thanks, honorable members. Is that a hand, honorable Sadi? Okay. Before I hand over for your response, let me take honorable Sadi's hand.
That's a thanks, Chair. Just to appreciate that the SBC has moved from a disclaimer to unqualified to us is good news. But I have an issue with regard to TV licenses, because in the light of the digital migration project that we are rolling out, I know with regard to people who are selling TV licenses, that those will, because let me start by saying you have our support with regard to the enforcement of the law with regard to TV licenses. But I'm saying with regard to those that can release TV sets without TV licenses, have you thought of some mechanisms just to ensure that there is that bit of compliance in that regard, of course with the assistance of other law enforcement agencies and other authorities in that regard, so that we are able to roll out this process and be able to identify those who qualify for the subsidy as we outlined last week while we are getting the presentation on the discernment question. And lastly, with regard to the MOI, the amendment to appoint and discipline staff as it has been done for now, what has been the situation before this kind of an amendment? Just clarity with regard to that one. Thank you.
Thanks, honorable members. Can I put a response, Minister?
Thank you, sir. With regard to the three vacancies in the board, yes, through the first one is the one left by Ellen Chavala. The other one is by Professor Kumalo. And the third one is Mr. Wonagel. Let me deal with the issue of the MOI first, because that was the chunk of the a lot of questions asked. Ms. Honorable Davis, I want to put it up front that you've been keeping us very busy in terms of the questions that you send us as a ministry and department that we always respond to. But the issue that you are raising now with regard to the MOI, the questions that you have sent to the acting chairperson in a letter to the acting chairperson of the board of the SABC, that you send it to him and copied to board members of the SABC via your email dated the 6th of February 2015, which I also found it very concerning, because in the sense that you know the process wherein if the issue that you need to raise, you have to do it via myself as a shareholder. So all the issues that you've raised now today, you know in your letter that you sent to the acting chairperson of the board and the board members of the SABC. These are all the issues that you put now in terms of the MRO. Nevertheless, let me respond to them now, because you have asked them formally in this meeting. The one with regard to Section 5 of the MOI, I want to put it to you, maybe before that, Honorable Davis, I want to come back to this issue of you reading that the issue of the broadcasting and everything. I think we need to provide clarity to you. You are reading it that is not a state-owned company. I differ with you on that one, and I want to take you through the law so that you understand what we mean by that. it is established, the SABC, in terms of this act, the Broadcasting Act, as a state-owned company, and is regulated by the Companies Act, Act 71 of 2008. That came after the proclamation of the Act, the Companies, the SABC Act. I want to read with you Section 8A, for the benefit of the members as well, of the Broadcasting Act. This Section 8A, honorable members, it regulates the conversion of the SABC from an old corporation to a public company incorporated in terms of the Companies Act. Let's read Section 8A together. It reads as follows. I want us to go to 8A2, and for the sake of your recognition, let me read it aloud. It says, the corporation must have a share capital as contemplated in Section 19 of the Companies Act, with the state as its sole shareholder with effect from the date of conversion. And then SA3 says, the minister must determine the memorandum and articles of association of the corporation and must submit these to the registrar at least a week prior to the date of the notice contemplated in subsection 1. And then 5 reads, 8A5 reads, with effect from the date of conversion, the Companies Act applies to the corporation as it had been incorporated in terms of the Companies Act on that date, save to the extent stipulated in this Act. Chairperson, allow me to hand over this document, which I want to talk to, is this memorandum of incorporation, because Honorable Davis is referring to the articles of association, and he tends to forget that the memorandum of incorporation was registered by Minister Gainapule in 2013. So it's because it seems we could not take regard of that, but I'll take you through, because Minister Gainapule did this in compliance with the provision of the same as the Broadcasting Act that is referred to. And then you are saying that there's no such requirement for ministerial approval in the 2011 Articles of Association that this MOI so supersedes. When you read the Companies Act, it does not provide for such rules as you are putting it here, honorable member. And then maybe Richard, can I hand you over that I, as I've indicated, this proof that the MOI was registered by the then Minister Pule, which the honorable now is tend to be ignoring it as if I came in and bring in another MOI. I wanted to put it on record that so that you can see, you can check the details you share, if you can allow the company secretary to make copies so that the honorable member is also afforded an opportunity to check with the CTIC that this MOI was registered in terms of the Companies Act. And then, so that's why I'm saying, in the version of the MOI that was approved by Minister Pule, the previous shareholder or the shareholder. And then you are raising the issue on Section 13.52 that you're saying it gives the new minister the power to waive whatever. Sorry, my apology. Except that I don't want to repeat it for the sake of time. You've raised that issue for the record. But I think I need to respond to that also to say this item that you are referring to, my apology, honorable member. But I wanted to remind you, it's agreeing that the board to advertise and shortlist candidates who apply for position of chief executive officer, this is a transgression of the prescription of good governance. That's what they're saying. But if you read the MOI that was registered with the company's office by Minister Pude, it's there. It has been approved. Is there is an opposing document, but my worry is that you opt to ignore that MOI as if I've put another one. So that's why I'm saying you need to go and look at that MOI as it's registered by the Companies Act. But also, You have raised the issue with regard to 13.57, wherein you are saying it gives us the sole authority to decide whether the CEO, CFO, and CFO should be reappointed as the terms and conditions of their appointment. And then you are saying the board is by cards altogether, unlike the 2013 Articles of Association. So this issue that you are referring to, Honorable Member, is in the MOI approved by Minister Kule, the previous shareholder representative of the SABC, as in terms of clause 13.56 of that MOI, then approved by Minister Kule. And then also raising the issue that section 13.6 states that the board can only discipline or suspend the executive manager with approval of the minister. And then previously this was the decision of the board alone. You see, I want to put it on record, Honorable Member, to say the myself as a minister and shareholder and the sole shareholder of the state, I have the authority to appoint the good CEO, COO, and the CFO. Therefore, under the circumstances, you also have the responsibility to discipline or suspend. Yeah, that's what it's saying. And then also you referred to section 19.2 of the articles to say that the board was empowered to appoint 18 CEO, COO, and CFO. And you are saying we have removed that power. From section 13.71 of the MOI, it says in the event the CEO position being vacant for whatever reason, the CEO shall act in that position. I want to put it to you, Honorable Member, to say this is incorrect. Section 19.2 of the article stipulates the board may appoint an employee whom it deems fit subject to the approval, rejection by the minister, and subject to the condition that may be imposed by the minister from time to time to act in the position of good chief executive officer, chief operation officer, or chief financial officer. And then I want to also indicate that in view of the problems experienced by the board during 2014 in deciding who ought to be appointed as the acting CEO, the minister, we have taken the rules as the minister to say that the most senior executive will act in this position. And I don't believe there's anything wrong with that. And then you are also challenging section 13.74, which gives the minister the sole authority to extend an acting CEO, CFO, and COO contract beyond the initial 3-month contract. If section 13.74 has not changed, it's exactly as it was approved in the MOI approved by Minister Pule, the previous shareholder and representatives of the SABC. And then you are also contesting the issue on 14.3.1 that they give the board of the minister to the power to recommend the removal of the board member, whereas it was previously up to the board alone. And then you are also saying it appears to be the breach of section 15A1 of the Broadcasting Act that stipulates that only Parliament has got the power to recommend the removal of a board member. Honorable Member, section 14 of the MOI, it is in line with the requirements of sections 59 and 71 of the Companies Act, 71 of 2008, and it's also included in the MOI that I'm referring to, that was approved by Minister Raila Pule, the previous shareholder representatives of the SABC. It must be determined whether now the Broadcasting Act takes precedence over the Companies Act in this regard, as I've read section 8A of the Broadcasting Act, which is very clear. And then you have got concern, Honorable Member, on section 20.24 of the MI, which introduces another new clause that empowers the SABC to pay the legal fees to defend litigation in any proceeding arising out of the Director Services of Corporation. Again, Honorable Member, This was included in the MOI that was approved and registered with the company's office by the former shareholder representative of the SABC as in section 20.2.1 of that MOI that I'm referring to. You see, Chairperson, I think also it then becomes unfair to debate and discuss the detail of the MOI without also the honorable member having read this other MOI that is there in the company's office of speaking. And then I think also that also for the benefit of the other members who have never had the privilege to go through that, I think we, through you, like the honorable member is already, through you as the meeting progress, maybe we can also schedule another meeting where he will come and then take you through with all these demo I started referring to. But then also, you have raised the issues of myself then, in essence, the way you are putting it then, accepting and vetoing the powers of the board. And then, that's the way you are raising your questions. And then, I think, this interpretation that you have, honorable member, is incorrect. Because there is a general meeting of the shareholders, not that of the board. If you read the Companies Act, you see that. And then I've addressed the issue to say that you are saying it's not a state-owned company, it's an independent act. But the Companies Act now governs the SAB. I don't know where you do you get that interpretation to say that it's not a state-owned company. Yeah, so I really don't know. But then also, it's very important that I read it again through honorable chair and members to say the 2011 articles of association was changed to the memorandum of incorporation and approved by Minister Diana Fule, the previous shareholder representative of the SABC, in compliance of the Companies Act. So these are the issues that I think we need to address. So yeah, basically I think we can close it here when it comes to this matter, and then let me deal with other issues unless there are other follow-up questions. And then while you are still on the MOI, let me also share with you the provisions of the Companies Act. Section 1 of the Companies Act, it defines what a memorandum of incorporation is. For the purpose of the records, it reads, a memorandum or a memorandum of incorporation means the document as amended from time to time that sets out rights, duties and responsibilities of shareholders, directors and others within, in relation to the company and other matters related to. And then when you read section 16 of the Companies Act, it regulates the issue of the amendment of the MOI. Section 16 of the Companies Act, number 71 of 2008, it regulates the amendment of the MOI. And then it reads in subsection 1, a company's memorandum of incorporation may be amended, I won't read everything, at any other time if a special resolution to amend it is adopted, that is reading the seat 2, is adopted at the shareholder meeting in accordance with section 60, subject to subsection 3. So, the issue that we're raising that we've done on the amendment, we've dealt with that in terms of the provision of section 60 of the Companies Act. And then it goes further because he's raised issues with regard to when you read section 16, subsection 2, it says, a company's memorandum of incorporation may provide different requirements than those set out in subsection 1 CI with respect to proposal for amendments. And then when you read 5, 16.5, it says, a new memorandum of incorporation in substitution of the existing memorandum or one or more alterations to the existing memorandum of incorporation. It says in particular, I want to emphasize subsection 5b2, it says by deleting, altering or replacing any provision. So basically that's why it's clear that in terms of the law that Honorable Davis is referring to, the minister, I have the powers as a representative of the state, which is the sole shareholder, to amend the memorandum of incorporation of the SABC. And then such powers are exercised in terms of section 16 that I've indicated that above. So that's why we're saying we have done that. Apart from that media article that read, politicians save power at the SABC. To say, we have done that to amend the MOI and subsequently signed the same on the 26th of September 2014. And then we have done that because we're empowered by the law that I've indicated. So we have conducted that in pursuant of the provision of section 16 of the Companies Act. So there's nothing wrong with that. So I don't know where does this legal argument comes from the Honorable Justice, because this is what the law says. Honorable Madish, oh, there's the other items that have missed with regard to the letters that we, my apologies. With regard to these issues that you are raising, Honorable Davis, of me writing letters to board members, returning them, as you are saying, I think I've already indicated that the SABC is governed by the MOI. Maybe you were raising it based on the fact that on the issue that you've raised that was since disputed to say, the MOI give me power, because when you read this excess of I'm reading it, it makes provision for the duties of the shareholders, duties of directors. So I've done that empowered by the provisions of the company sector. That's the source of my authority, because the act says that secondly, there's an SABC board charter that also gives me responsibility. I think Honorable Davis has it, is ready. So the MOI and then the shareholder compact, including both acts, the Broadcasting Act and the Companies Act. And then you raise the issue to say, why am I involved in the issue of this other director, and why was I not involved on the matter of NN? You remember, we couldn't duplicate processes. You dealt with that matter in the portfolio committee. and you are also empowered in terms of this broadcasting act to do that. So there was no need for me to act because it will be duplication of resources and time, because the matter you dealt with it as a portfolio committee. So I think you want to suggest the same matter is the competency of the portfolio committee to deal with the other board members. That's what you're saying. That's what I'm saying to say. And the portfolio committee not dealt with the matter, they have also dealt with the matter same that I'm dealing with the matter. And then I'm saying, yes, shareholder, I've got this responsibility to make sure that the stability in the SABC, I'm empowered by the law, as the shareholder representative for the SABC, to make sure that the stability, people that are misbehaving, then they must be taken to task. But also, the board, I think I want to, the chairperson of the board is dealing with that, is also empowered in terms of this act, to act against board members that don't comply with the provisions of the act. And then the issues raised by Honorable Madisha, I agree with you. Your concerns are genuine. Like you said, I was not in the parliament when the president was dealing with the issue of Bushali to Kairos. But I think I've seen the recording. And I don't recall the president saying that, but I don't want to enter into that terrain. But let me come on the issue that you are raising. I think Honorable can deal with the matter properly. To say, instead of the colleague Honorable David to deal with this matter here, wherein he could have asked us to account, because this is our responsibility to account to Parliament. He opted to go the legal route. So that matter is before the court. So we can't discuss the merits as he's trying to do here. We can't. That substitutive rule has to be adhered to. Coming on the issues of the presentation that you are getting, you are right, and this is not deliberate. I want to unconditionally apologize on this matter and assure you that it will never happen. And then, yeah, it will never happen again. That's not the intention, because we feel we've got the responsibility to account to you. I once sitting in that seat myself, and I used to talk to the people in the other side to account. And this is my understanding to say, we've got this responsibility as the executive to account to yourself. And there's no way that will hide information for you. And I'm also now raising the issue of this MOIs. I'm proposing through you, Chairperson, to say, we need to have another date wherein we come and take you through the MOIs as we're indicating, so that you understand. So that's our responsibility. And then, but coming back on that, you'll recall we came in with the SABC, wherein we were presenting the annual report. So this is the progress report, but also that doesn't then make it right to say we don't give you the information for you to interrogate. And then you have said your mouth for the Honorable Madisha. So we have heard you. We'll try by all means to comply and kindly accept our unconditional apology. Maybe I must give the board chairperson an opportunity to respond together with the other board members, because this issue shouldn't be viewed as an issue that is raised direct to the board. Shouldn't be viewed as a matter of the board chairperson. That's why we brought the other three board members, so that they also can use this issue.
Sure, thanks, Minister. Can you proceed, board chairperson, the 18 board chairperson?
Actually, the questions by Honorable Davis, with one question, which is the removal of board member Hukzinde. As far as we are concerned as the board, we followed due processes to remove her. And as you may have heard, she's removed. the matter is closed from our side. Once we remove, we remove. As to what the next step will be, I'm not sure whether you mean the next step that we as the board would take or the next steps that she would take. If that is what you mean, the next step that she would obviously take, that one I'm not too sure. I will just guess and say perhaps she might take the matter to the court if she strongly believes she has a case. We during the meeting we corrected. It is only one member who sent us an SMS to say he will be an hour late. And as the meeting was on, that member then sent another SMS that he was not gonna make it. As to how many voted and how many abstained and so on, please let me not get into that. However, I'm saying we have got proof, we have got the attendance register which shows who was there and who was not. So if people are able to count, they would be able to count as to how many members were there and how many were not. The issue of the MOI being discussed by the board and whether it was approved by the board, that one the minister has already responded to. I'm not going to respond to it again. We, after the removal, we indeed notified the shareholder. So I believe it would be her prerogative to take that matter up with the relevant authorities if they are there. If they are not, it will be a prerogative to apply her mind in regards to that. I hope I've answered your questions. Thank you.
If the other directors that want to report on the issues, we can give them an opportunity as well.
The minister is requesting directors want to also contribute from the board.
Thank you, Chair. Coming to Honorable Madisha's issue about SADC using consultants, I think that the CFO did deal with the matter. Because, you know, we are talking about issues that have been happening more than 10 years. Those are historical issues. So for SADC to function properly, you need a project team to deal with historical issues. What is referring to is those consultants are dealing with historical issues. The team that we have at the SADC, they are dealing with their own current issues because we have to separate such issues. But coming to the man that I could not ignore at all, Mr. Davis, I think you need to be honorable member. And we as citizens of this country, we respect the parliament. You need to lead by example by respecting parliament yourself. Because what you do, you distort the information. Especially when we talk about the fruitless and expenditure. You talk about
it. Raise your hand if you want to say something. Don't do that.
You talk about
the stop the speaker.
You want to say something?
No, we are not here to play. We cannot pretend as if we don't see what Davis is doing. He must be honorable. That's why, at the same time, he will always undermine you. Acting as a spokesperson of this PC.
Honorable,
when you are here. So please make sure that you deal with this person like all of us. We are all quiet and don't just say to him, Davis, no, stop. We can't do that. You must give him a serious warning. Thanks.
You did say, first Honorable Davis, if you want to speak, raise your hand so that I recognize. Can you proceed?
Chair, what I'm referring to Honorable Davis is, he always distorts information about the SADC. When we talk about fruitless expenditure, we are talking about the policy of the SADC, to say the policy is not aligned to the business of the SADC. But when he talks to media, he refers as if SADC has charged more than 3 billion, which is misleading. And I think you need to understand better, those are the policies. When the AG talks about the issues of fruitless expenditure and so on, that is just a technical language. But it is not true that SADC has charged the money. I think that information is misleading, Mr. Davis. But also, Chairperson, if the honorable member respects the rules of parliament, he should respect the independence of the SADC. He's the one who's saying that SADC is independent. But he interferes operationally talking to the staff of the SADC, which he should refrain from doing that. Because actually he's inciting the staff of the SADC, which wrong from a member of parliament who claims that he's honorable. But in the action, they are not honorable. I just put it clear here, Chairperson. Those are the issues that really, for us as citizens or people who represent the public broadcaster, we need to respect the members, but they should be honorable first before we can respect them. Thank you.
Those are the responses. There's still another hand from the acting chair, and there's another hand from the honorable member. I will take your hand. Let me
Thank you, Chair. I want to also reiterate the last part of, that was said by Kademus Training, that actually the division that you see amongst board members, it is due to the interference by some of members of this of this house. They are dividing us. Because, for instance, when I receive a letter, I know that one or two other board members will be copied. And Honorable Member Mr. Davis knows, when he writes to me, there will be a name or two, including that of Hope Zinde. And now I ask myself, why specifically that one? Why not all the members? So this division must come to an end, so that we are able to fulfill our mandate without interference. Give us time and space to do our work. We'll see SABC flourishing. But as long as we interfere, no board will serve for the period that it was appointed for. I want to repeat that one. Even if we go today, and there would be another board tomorrow, because of this interference, no board will survive. SABC will not do its duty. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Davis and Honorable Matisha. Honorable Kitan.
Thank you, Chair. I'm aware the Minister needs to leave soon, so I'm just going to deal with what she said first. With respect, what the Minister said was smoke and mirrors. It's an exercise in obfuscation designed to hide what is really happening at the SABC. Because the fact is that the Broadcasting Act, which is a statute, makes the SABC a public broadcaster by empowering the board to control the affairs of the corporation. And the fact remains that the Memorandum of Incorporation removes the power of the board to do that in three main ways. Because it makes executive directors effectively accountable to the minister, undermining the board. That's the first thing. It also allows the minister to remove a board member, which the Broadcasting Act does not allow. But this memorandum, this document that she gets to sign herself, in a shareholders meeting of one person, she gets to decide, and she thinks that must trump an act of parliament, which is decided in this house. And thirdly, it gives her the power to veto any rule changes of the SABC. Any changes proposed by the board, she gets the power. Just those three things alone turns the SABC from a
public broadcaster to a state broadcaster. And frankly, it's irrelevant whether Dean and Pule signed a similar document in 2013, because that was just as secretive as the document that you signed in September last year. No announcements, not publicly available. Where are these documents? Why so secretive? The answer is because they contravene the Broadcasting Act. That's why. What is the point of a Broadcasting Act if you can sign a document on your own in a room that supersedes the Broadcasting Act?
On the letters to the board members.
I'm not satisfied that you would refrain from taking action against Ella Shabalala, but you would go after the other board members. And by the way, you haven't said, as I asked, which ones they are, which ones you sent letters to. Because surely there must be one rule for everybody. You can't pick and choose which sections of the Act you use for which board members. Because what that tells us is it tells us that you have an agenda. Because you get to decide, you get to pick and choose how you do this process. And that is wrong. The board chairperson says very, very definitively that Hope Zinde has been removed. He says she's gone. She's removed. Once we remove, she's removed, he says. But does the board chairperson not know that only the appointing authority can remove a board member? He doesn't have the authority to remove a board member. It's the appointing authority. That's what the Broadcasting Act is. Or do we not use the Broadcasting Act anymore? Is it all been superseded by these other documents that get signed secretly in a room? Because the Broadcasting Act says that only the appointing authority, which is the president of this country, can remove a board member on recommendation by this portfolio committee, as we did with Ellen Shabalala. So he cannot remove her, he doesn't have the power to remove her. You know, we've heard a version of events from the chairperson about who was quorate, whether the meeting was quorate, who was there, and he won't divulge who voted and who abstained, etc. But that is precisely why any inquiry must happen in this sitting, in an open inquiry, like we did with Ellen Shabalala. We cannot have these decisions taken behind closed doors, because the moment you start doing that is the moment that you start communicating to the country that this is a purge and that it's politically motivated. And I'm afraid that's what you've done, by taking these decisions behind closed doors. These things should be in this Parliament through a process defined in the Broadcasting Act, the very process that we use to recommend the removal of Ellen Shabalala. I just want to correct an inaccuracy from the chairperson. He said that I only write to him and Hope Zinde. That's completely wrong. When I write to him, I write to the whole board, because I believe he is first amongst equals, and when you write to the board, you include other board members. Because I do know that a lot of the board members aren't always privy to what the chairperson is privy to. And for me, that is a problem. I know that the board members, for example, have never even seen these memorandums of incorporation. These memorandums of incorporation which supersede the Broadcasting Act. How can it be possible that board members are not privy to those decisions and don't even get access to those documents? That's the first thing. Then my friend, Mr. Claudio Mofrene. You say that I go to the media and I say and I lie to them about fruitless and wasteful expenditure of 3.5 billion. I have never said there was 3.5 billion rands worth of fruitless and wasteful expenditure. You just said that. I've always said irregular expenditure, because that's what the Auditor General said. He said it was irregular expenditure. And when the media say to me, does that mean that this is all corruption? I say, no, not necessarily. It just means that the money was spent irregularly and that the SABC can't account for what happened to that money. So there's huge scope for corruption. But we don't know, because your financial records are in such a mess that we don't even know how this money was spent. That is the problem. It could have been corrupt, it might not have been corrupt, but the point is we are none the wiser, because your financial record keeping is so bad. And that is the fundamental problem there. The second thing that you say, accusing me of inciting staff. Now, I take huge offense to that. I speak to SABC staff, I speak to journalists. Because I'm a member of parliament and journalists phone me, just like a journalist from the Mail and Guardian will contact me, or the Sunday Times, or from Radio 702. I speak to the SABC journalists, okay? When I sent one of your journalists a press release with a covering note saying, here's a press release from me, your people at the SABC seized her laptop. She was off strict for 2 weeks because of the stress. She was put through an inquiry, which was just a complete show trial to try and warn other members of the SABC off from dealing with people such as myself. Now tell me, who is interfering with journalists of the SABC? Is it me, or is it you, when you get their laptop seized and you put them under so much stress that they have to take sick leave for 2 weeks. Tell me who is doing the inciting and the interfering. Is it you or me?
Okay.
No, I
honorable
magistrate. Yes. I disapprove that thing. I must say that the team training and the professor Mahuri, you are wrong here. You can't just attack like that. It is wrong in this sense because I'm trying to imagine chairperson where you have a department, a partner department, and the chief director is here or the director is here, and just goes on and attacks. You know, that's very wrong. I want to emphasize that we've got to ensure that that does not happen next time. It is extremely wrong, and that which the committee has got to do is to sit down. Of course, a number of things have been raised. The operations, is an idea that which you have raised, we should be able to sit and look into that so that we know precisely how we deal with a number of things. You talk of communication and a whole lot of other things. You talk of independence, of course we are, of various parties, etc. All of us, we've got to sit down and look into that in the next meeting of the committee, honorable minister. But then I want to emphasize that the attacks were wrong in this instance, and I hope they won't be repeated altogether. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Malisha. Was there another hint?
Yes.
Oh, Honorable Kigan.
Thanks, Chair. Mine is to say that let me start by welcoming the presentation and answers from the Minister and her entourage. And I commend the SABC staff and their ESCO and Minister for taking out the SABC from ICU to at least normality. We must appreciate one thing. SABC was always in the red. And today we can see that something is hitting. Unlike other days when it was covered by advocates and others. Yeah, so here we must be straight and forward. And look, you must do everything in your power to make sure that you revive the broadcast. If there is sabotage, lazy workers, please remove them all the way to make sure that everything is in the right path. Discipline must be the order of the day. It's one thing that you must do. You know, all of us, we know that governance is needed. And once we talk about governance, we must know that we look at all aspects. And the last one, especially to my colleagues, I'm appealing, Honorable Davis, let's pay TV lesson and make sure that the broadcaster is surviving. We must support them. We must not fight them. We must make sure that our role is oversight. And oversight doesn't mean let's go to the battlefield. It means that let's support them. Let us show them their mistakes. And then if one is repeatedly doing those mistakes, is when you know what we will do. And I'm disappointed, especially on you, Honorable Davis. This thing of undermining authority is not good. This PC has the chairperson by the name of Grace Mulwe Moroba. Is our chairperson, this lady, and we must respect her. You must not go to the newspaper whereas
PC. You are not speaking on behalf of us. We never appointed any spokesperson for this PC. The spokesperson, the chairperson is one person. She's the chairperson of this PC. And please, you know that the procedure of writing letters must go via the chairperson. The procedure of writing letters complaining about the boss must go via the shareholder, which is the minister. Please, please, let us play like a team, collectively, because here there's no opposition. I take this as one team. I thank you, Chair.
Thanks, honorable member. Yeah, but I'm looking at the time as well, Minister. Let me allow you to go through the issues. There are some matters that I need to really run up and get into them. Over to you.
Thank you, Chair. We hear you, Honorable Davis. You see, it's a pity. Myself as a minister, I didn't write the accompanying act. This is an act of parliament. So, which supersedes any law. Like, your focus is on the broadcasting act. The Companies Act supersedes any law in respect to matters that are contained in it. I think whatever legal advice you are given, because this is not my law. Or either was it my predecessor's law. This is also an act of parliament. Unfortunately, it was promulgated and gazetted after this broadcasting act that you are saying you get the mandate from. This is Company Act number 71 of 2008. It's an act of parliament as well. And then also to say people are doing things secretively without public announcement. If people are doing it in compliance with the law, what's wrong with that? Well, this is what the law says. We've indicated to you that the MOI was registered with the company's office, the company's and intellectual property commission, in compliance with the same act. So it's a pity when you are saying people are doing things secretively, whereas they are doing things in terms of the law. And then we are talking about, it seems I have an agenda. Yes. As a minister, I have an agenda, and the agenda is to stabilize the SEPC, the Honorable Kigali. And then, the other here, making a citizen regard to the law, the Broadcasting Act does not exclude the provisions of the Companies Act in any matters relating to shareholders and directors. And I've read to you also the same Broadcasting Act that you were referring to, in particular Section 8A. It's very clear. It gives reference to the Companies Act. So I don't really understand what are your issues. And then with regard to Hobbs and Day's removal, maybe I must again take the honorable member through the same Companies Act. I think it's Section... The board will deal with that, but I've got this responsibility also to share with that. Because I must say, I want to put it in the record that I was briefed about the removal of Hobbs and Day. And I've satisfied myself that in terms of Section 71(3), maybe I'll read it for the purpose of your record. Section 71(3) of the Company Act, as I've indicated in my initial presentation, it empowers the board to remove one of its own, provided the procedures as set out in Section 71(3) have been followed. And I want to put it on record that in this regard, the SNDC board members have complied with the said provision. And then Ms. Wokzinde was afforded an opportunity to explain her conduct both in writing and orally. So the provision is there. I think for the sake of time, Chairperson, I will, but I'll summarize what Section 71 of the Governance Act says. This is what has happened. And then so the issue to say you want an inquiry to take place in terms of the Broadcasting Act. Now, when you read this section 71(3) that I'm referring to, it also gives provision. Mrs. Zinda has got the limit in terms of this Company Act. So this issue whether to use the Broadcasting Act or the Company Act, but at the end of the day, this is the main act, the Company Act, that regulates the matters relating to shareholders. I'm referring in particular to myself and the board of directors. So, I don't know, but I think on that one, I reserve my right to comment to say then you want an inquiry or not, but I want to put it on record that the board of directors of SABC has complied with the provision of the act. Yeah, and then, yeah, that takes it on my side. Maybe the board members want to include all the issues directed to them.
Okay. Acting Chairperson, you want to ask again, Honorable David? On what minister was responding on?
I'd like to get some clarity from the Minister. Are you saying that the Companies Act supersedes the Broadcasting Act? Because to my knowledge, the Broadcasting Act has not been repealed or rescinded. So I don't know how one act can supersede another. Only the Constitution supersedes any act of Parliament. But one act can't supersede another act. They must be in tension with each other, but one can't supersede another.
I didn't say it supersedes the Broadcasting Act. I said on matters in law, with respect to matters that are contained in it. And here in particular, I'm talking with regard to how the shareholders and the board of directors are regulated by the Companies Act. So it's only on matters in relation to shareholders and directors, because when you read the same broadcast, there's no project that is it. That's when you know the Companies Act comes to play.
You wanted to respond.
I wanted to respond, Chairperson, to say, you see, when effects are stated, they sound like attacks, but in all earnestness, Chairperson, what we are doing as the board here, we are not attacking, but you could feel or see that the board is under siege, and we have to defend ourselves. So, Honorable Madisha, we were not attacking, we were defending ourselves. Because we were being attacked, viciously so. On the issue of Magube, who doesn't have powers to remove, Magube did not remove in his personal capacity. Magube was chairing the meeting where a board member was removed by the board of directors. It is not Magube who removed. Because I heard the honorable member saying, Chairperson, you don't have the power. It is the board that removes and not Magube in his personal capacity. Also, in addition, you see, it is problematic when an honorable member says, we are told that there is this, there is that, by board members. This is what we are exactly trying to root out, because some of these things that members are being told are unfounded, and they are the root cause of perhaps the division that we are seeing, because they come out and do not tell the true reflection of what the deliberations were during the meeting. So That is how we are doing. And even myself, if I'm found to be behaving in an acceptable manner, I believe the board of directors will do the same. They will remove me, and I would not have a problem if they can prove that my conduct was unbecoming. Thanks, Chairperson.
Okay, thanks. Minister, like all other members did indicate, we want to thank you for the presentation that you've done. Remember, we haven't interacted with the SABC. It's our first interaction. I need to emphasize that it becomes better if you are around. I know that you won't be around always, but your presence, if we have to discuss and engage on this matter, it really helps. You know, what's right now, we could interact directly with you, and therefore we thank you for that. Again, we do have to verify the issue of communication, that once you want to communicate with your entities, we'll do it through you, as we are required to do so. I know that there should have been a mistake as well from my side, where from the Secretary of the Committee, the communication was straight to the Chairperson of the Board, both I did actually also try to sort some clarity, but we will actually ensure that the communication flows that way. We are aware again that if there are questions that can be asked, you know, if Honourable David can just write straight to you as well, without necessarily going via me. You know, in terms of the question, he is free to really do that. Now, Honourable Minister, issues that came across here are really technical, legal, you know, and I need to really indicate it this way. The issue that you are raising and the move that you have taken us through, you are using the Companies Act, I'm sure it's King 3, Supreme the third time, that is 2008, the Companies Act 71, 2008. You have actually taken us over and over to it. I'll raise my opinion. It is my opinion that it is a law of general application which applies to the companies across board in terms of the fiduciary duties, etc., etc., etc. I am glad the last question that Honourable Davis asked directly, where Honourable Davis was saying, does this supersede the Broadcasting Act? You actually said that's not what we are saying, that it's not superseding, because I'm seeing actually have the same question that, can we have the Companies Act superseding a legislation, in this instance I'm talking about the Broadcasting Act, that governs the specific matters that relate or are related to broadcasting across board. I'm wishy-washy, I was wishy-washy there, which therefore means possibly in terms of the account that you've been trying to clarify us, you were saying you're using them concurrently. I need to sincerely indicate, because we had a presentation very, very late, I could not do a lot of consultation legally. I would also need my space to actually do consult with the legal section of Parliament to actually see that all these laws are synergized appropriately so that I can be able to be empowered to actually engage with this. And I think, it's part of what I think and undertaking that I want to do. I want to consult and find out also a guidance along this, that the concurrence, is it a concurrence, possibly, definitely, I'm sure you are saying concurrence because you stated on your presentation, once you use the laws, you haven't removed the Broadcasting Act, I've seen it on the presentation. Now, based on all those issues that you have already engaged and discussed, I need to indicate that over and over the issue of the MOU, the status of the MOU came over and over, and you also acceded that possibly, MOI in this instance, Memorandum of Incorporation, came over and over, and you have also acceded that possibly you can be available to take us through a discussion around that. This will constitute part of what we actually want to do. I agree. I already noted that we need to broadly discuss the MOI in details, which is one of the issues that will have to come back and take us through the MOI. The other issue, of course, it will be the MOI in relation with the Broadcasting Act and how we're definitely going to move forward once we're dealing with this matter. The very other critical aspect, which I have noted that we need to deal with, members, is the financial audit report, which they, we can invite the Auditor General so that we can just engage thoroughly into that, because we're glad that we just raised the aspects of it or started with it and carried it over into the discussion. Yes, honourable members, I'm sure we're right when you say there's a lot of work that we have to do with the SAPC. Remember, it's quite broad. We haven't even gone on to the content issues that we want to dwell in details, a number of other areas that we really need to deal with, and related work that they are doing. You know, noting what the minister requested us earlier on in terms of, her apology to leave at 12, I believe we have sufficient space to engage. We still need more, and we are going to align our meetings. We will discuss with you, but we are going to roll out the program in a way that we are all able to engage, and at the end of the day, we will be satisfied as members of parliament that we have done sufficient oversight over the SSBC. At this point in time, honourable members, ladies and gentlemen, minister, I'm sure the deputy minister who left as per apology, I would like to attend this meeting. Thank you very much. Can I recall my adjournment of the meeting? I'm only adjourning the we are finished as far.